You're listening to Casting Dreams, a Dreamcast podcast with me, Jonathan Eaton.
I'm Patrick Anderson.
I hope you guys have been enjoying this show so far. This is the most work I've ever put into a podcast before.
Oh, wow. Wow.
With like the amount of research and then just like note taking. I never take notes for stuff.
That's for school.
And we stopped going to school so long ago. That's right. We are aging gamers, and it's been 25 years since the podcast, since the Dreamcast came out. Oh my god! But you know what, Patrick? I'm really excited about this episode because this is one of my favorite. This is one of my favorite games, literally of all time.
It was awesome to go back and revisit, and it did. You know. It did seal the deal as probably, yes, not only one of my favorite games, but definitely one of the very tops in the series. Excellent.
And we're talking about Resident Evil Code Veronica. And this is so interesting because Resident Evil is a huge franchise. It's my favorite. I mean, it's my favorite video game ever. I'm a gigantic fan. Both of us. We're both huge fans from like the straight up beginning. So we've been kind of like living and breathing Resident Evil for, like 30 years now. Almost. Almost Damn. 30 years. That's Ooh. Crazy. Resident Evil Code Veronica is so interesting because this is the first time I've played this version of the game. Probably in like 20-ish years because I've played this game recently. I think the last time I played it was 2017 because I booted up my PS5 version of it.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, what was the last time I played? It was 2017. And I'm like, okay, so that's when I must have like dove into this game list. But that version, the version most people have played, probably, I would say, I don't know the statistic, but it has to be like the game, the version of the game that almost everybody has played is Code Veronica X.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree.
And there's some really interesting differences between that game and the original Dreamcast release, which is what we have, what we were playing. Yeah.
Yep.
Right off the bat, do you want to get into, let's talk about the production, the history of this game?
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I think it's a good start.
So after Resident Evil 2, which I believe came out in 98, it was a huge hit. And Shinji Mikami, who is the creator of the Resident Evil series and directed the first two games and then this, and that might have been it, actually, I think. I know he's been involved, but I think those were the only ones he actually directed. They were trying to port Resident Evil 2 to the Sega Saturn after it came out on the PlayStation because it was a massive hit. But for some reason, The Saturn's tech, I guess, I don't know if it was too different or if it just wasn't good enough and it wasn't rendering the game playable in a state that they wanted to release it. So they were trying to actually port Resident Evil 2, failed, and then decided that since they couldn't do that, they were going to work on a Sega, what's the word I'm looking for? Exclusive.
A
Sega exclusive Resident Evil game, kind of as like an apology to the Sega players who couldn't play the second game. So they started working on Code Veronica, and it was originally very much intended to be Resident Evil 3. It was the sequel to Resident Evil 2. But they switched it from the Saturn to the Dreamcast, obviously. I guess during, that's such a crazy time, like 98 to 99, the Saturn was on its way out and the Dreamcast was getting created. So they stopped production on the Saturn version. They switched over to producing for a Dreamcast version. It was going to be gothic horror, like European gothic horror inspired. They wanted to get away from what they did in the first two games, which was like American horror, Night of the Living Dead, suburban town type stuff, and go into more of like the Euro gothic horror. They wanted it to be like kind of operatic. They wanted German style weaponry, which I thought was an interesting note. I never really read that before, but like, oh yeah, Lugers.
Yeah.
And Shinji Mikami had said after the game came out that this game is, he said it was, quote, 50 to 60% of what his perfect vision of Resident Evil was. So I think he was even more into this game than the first one. The game has better graphics than the first three. And then the other, I guess, big thing to mention is that while this game was getting made and it was a true sequel to Resident Evil 2, they were working on a spin-off Resident Evil game that was following Jill Valentine during the events of Resident Evil 2. That game got finished faster, and they had to delay Code Veronica a bit. And someone, there's conflicting stories about that. There's like conflicting information. Because I've read that they wanted to keep all of the mainline games on the PlayStation. And that's why they decided to switch the two. So they switched what was going to be a spin-off game, then actually became Resident Evil 3 Nemesis. And this became a spin-off game, Resident Evil Code Veronica. But and even without knowing that information, you could have guessed it, because this game truly is like the bigger sequel of those two games. It's crazy. Again, I can't wait to talk about like the characters and the story and everything, because it really, like, we're super nerds. I'm going to nerd out a lot in this episode.
Geek town.
The thing that set this game apart, obviously, better graphics, better facial animations. The zombies are more detailed. It was something about, like, you know, like their bodies twitch and their eyes move around. They redesigned Claire to be tougher, because they this is funny, because I obviously noticed that Claire's redesign is, you know, Claire was redesigned. And I like the way she looks in this better than Resident Evil 2.
I agree.
And it's so funny that they were like, we want to make her tougher and like seem more capable. And it comes off as like her being older. But this game takes place 3 months after Resident Evil 2. So she's still like, I don't know, like 19 or something like that. It's crazy.
Well, then also, too, this was like the big step with, you know, no more the backgrounds, like the yes. preset backgrounds. This is like 3D full, baby. It was cool.
First fully 3D Resident Evil game. And it even that though it has this fixed camera, it's very cool. They have movement with the camera. You never had that before in any of the games.
Yeah. It's so sweet. I know we talked about Blue Stinger and the power of the Stinger of Blue. And the beautiful camera work, and it's just, it was such a delight to go from that and then go to this and like, oh my God, this is how a game should be played.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Blue Stinger would go up 100, you know, points, you know, just based on that, but it would have played so much better and there would have been a lot more appreciation. So
this
Capcom got it right.
Yeah, and honestly, I'm so glad you recommended this as our next game to talk about, because playing this felt like a reward for like playing Blue Stinger.
Yes, it was. It was. Yeah.
It's like, wow, this is so, oh my God, so much better.
It's a game. Wow.
God. This game was supposed to come out in 1999, basically like alongside Resident Evil 3, but it got delayed. In that delay, I think this is hilarious. They decided to port Resident Evil 2 to the Dreamcast, which they couldn't do for the Saturn. But so, like, in 1999, in December 99, they were like, here's Resident Evil 2.
Yeah, I bought it. I was a sucker. It was like 20 bucks. I'll buy it.
This game came out in February of 2000. And this, I think I had seen these before, but I totally forgot about them. Did you know that there are limited edition, there's two different limited edition Code Veronica themed Dreamcast systems that they released in Japan. let me find that, because they are fucking cool looking.
Damn. That I didn't know about that. I wonder if, did one of them have like Claire's wings or something like that on them, or?
Yes.
Man.
That was like the version of the game, like the here, I'll show you.
I already have two Dreamcasts. I don't need another one.
They cost so much money. We've got one version. This seems to be the rarer version. It's dark blue and it's a Stars branded Dreamcast.
Wow.
It comes with a blue controller and looks like a black VMU. And then there's the Claire version, and this one is see-through, like, dark red.
Oh, man.
With, like, the same color see-through dark red controller. And then, yeah, the game itself, it was a special, like, you know, version of the game. So it came in this sleeve, this red sleeve that has the Viking with the, like, the Valkyrie that's on the back of Claire's jacket.
Oh, that's so cool.
I was looking these up. That's not too bad, actually. That one's $700 on eBay. This one's $4,000, $4,500. But that's the Claire version. That comes, I think, mint in box with everything. This looks like it's just the system for $700. I did see one of the Stars ones on a website. Mm-hmm. And it was $10,000.
Oh, my God.
You know, mint in box. But isn't that great? And aren't they cool?
Yes.
If I was like real fuck around money rich, I would probably buy one of those.
Oh, I would too. I'd have to hide it from my wife and put it underneath my bed. But yeah, you know, that's
yeah. In 2001, so we talked about this a little bit, but in 2001 they released so Code Veronica was Dreamcast exclusive for about a year. And then in 2001, they released it for the PS2. This version was called Code Veronica X. And I think I'll save the what, you know, was different about different. It for later in the episode when we talk after we talk about like the story and all that kind of stuff. The game sold really well. Over 1 million copies of the game sold worldwide. On the Dreamcast, it sold, when it came out on the Dreamcast, it sold less well than previous Resident Evil games that were on the PlayStation. But it did sell better than most Dreamcast games.
Oh, okay.
So it was a hit for the Dreamcast. Just not like a hit overall.
Man.
But anyway, that is the, I guess the kind of history of the game up to release. Let's take a moment and see what it would have looked like the first time we popped this game in to our system.
Oh yes.
So the first thing right off the bat that I think is great is that the games don't say that this game contains scenes of explicit violence and gore anymore.
It's like, oh wow.
I love that the intro is like this little clip show.
Yeah.
But what I also love about it is that it's spoilery as fuck.
But I forgive it. That, and like you were mentioning, which I think is awesome, and that's what I've really noticed. I won't try to go too far ahead, but the music itself, like very opera, you know, themed. And I mean, besides the end credits, I love the music. I thought the music was incredible.
God. Yeah. The end credits. Oh, boy.
It's like a 90s sitcom. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a little sad that the guy didn't, when you press start and like play new game, I was a little sad the guy didn't say Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Yeah. That. Maybe he was going to charge more money if he said Code Veronica to Capcom.
It's cheaper to get him to say 3 and then 4. This intro looks great. I mean, the graphics are very dated now, but I mean, at the time, I think in 2000, this CG was wonderful.
Yeah, her face coming up here when they take off the hood.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like a clear face like that. I was like, oh my God. Like, her face has got detail. It's got character. Oh my gosh.
I do remember seeing this for the first time thinking, like, I just love the oh my God, this looks real.
Yeah.
But it was so, so much better looking than what had come before it. It was nuts. Mm. And this really does, I mean, like the lighting in this, this feels pretty top notch for 2000.
Yeah. Oh, man. It reminds me of T2. I don't know.
That's what I was just going to say. Oh, okay. I was, oh, my God. I was taking a sip and I was literally going to say I'm getting huge James Cameron vibes from this this intro.
Yeah.
Oh, heavy T2. Yeah, the lighting, the helicopter. I'm a little bummed that we've never gone to like Europe. Oh, that's not Europe, but just like the Paris Umbrella Lab.
Yeah.
Like set a game there. That sounds awesome.
Maybe that'll be number 9.
I hope so. Oh. I hope whatever 9 is good.
Just as long as it's good. That's all I care about.
Just want it to be good.
I love how my brother used to quote this, like, there's no way she could go back and like grab the gun that quickly and shoot the barrel. I'm like, Justin, oh my God, man, it's a game.
This isn't realistic. zombies exist though, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and the T-virus, you know. Oh man, this game just starts off. I just love the way this game
it's
starts
so good.
Off.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's a great intro.
Yeah, no, her face right here. It's coming up. It's like when the place is shaking and she's like looking around.
When it's like a close up of her eye.
Let's see. It's right. I think it's like right here. Yeah, like right there. I was like, damn, man, power of the Dreamcast, man. Oh, man, I'm going to play it just like that. It's going to look just like that. And then it was like, it's not, but it's still pretty damn awesome.
It basically looks just like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a shot coming up in a second that's like a close-up of her eye that I remember even now I think is a really great animated shot, but in in 2000, thinking, like, I've never seen, like, CG this good, this right here.
Yeah.
Like, the eye movement's very natural.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They still can't get that shit right, and it's 2024.
Nope, still can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you start out and it's like you just have a knife. Oh my God, like how intense. So great. It's not like you have a lockpick and a gun, you know?
Yeah.
So good.
Wow, Rodrigo. That's his name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I also like, this is more of a gameplay thing, but the lighter's so cool in this game. Because it actually is like creating ambient light and you can use it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I literally just played this like 2 days ago and I'm still just like, oh man, this game's so good.
I know. Oh dude, I was playing it up to today. So yeah, nice. I mean,
how far did
so
you get?
I got to Antarctica, but I didn't.
Oh shit.
Yeah, but pretty much I just crashed and it was like, you know, come on, Claire, let's split up. But I mean, obviously, I beat the game when it first came out. So,
I played this game a lot. I've definitely played it multiple times over the years. And what about you? What are you going to
do? Don't worry about me. Yeah, I think I beat it 2 or 3 times,
but it's been years. So it was a blast playing this over again.
Yeah. So story-wise, we got Claire Redfield, one of the stars of Resident Evil 2, in search of her brother, Chris, one of the stars of Resident Evil 1. She goes to the Umbrella Paris lab, gets captured, sent to Rockfort Island, which is in the Southern Ocean, and wakes up to an attack on the island. I feel like it's not clear for a long time, but I think, is it Wesker's people that are attacking?
Alfred or Alexia has the blood,
right.
or is the carrier, yeah, for that virus. So, yeah.
So Claire wakes up in this prison, you know, she escapes, fights a bunch of different monsters. We got zombies are back, zombie dogs, Cerberus are back. There's a big ass worm boss, and one of my all-time favorite Resident Evil enemies that has only ever been in this game, but the Bandersnatch.
Yes. Those things are freaking awesome, and they're creepy
when they're super released.
Creepy. Yeah.
They're just like these hulking things that have like one teeny stubby little arm and then like one giant long arm, but they stretch and they'll like shoot their arm out stretchy and like grab onto a ceiling beam and then like
pull themselves
shoot, like yeah, pull yeah, themselves yeah. up to like where you are, and they're fucking scary. Claire, you know, at first you are in this kind of facility and it's very there's like a kind of training ground. It's very kind of like army feeling. There's like the training ground area, and then there's the like kind of mansion area.
Yeah.
And what I love about the mansion is that like you get into the mansion and you're like, oh wow, this looks so great. This is so like opulent and all that kind of stuff. And then you get to the fucking house behind the mansion.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so awesome. And I know we'll talk about differences, but there was only one difference between this and X. That X did have a certain shot that I wish was in the Dreamcast version.
Mm-hmm.
But still, yeah, I love that house. It's that so house epic.
Great.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, and we should talk about... before we even get to the house, I wanted to talk about a few of the characters that you meet along the way. The first one you meet, of course, Steve Burnside. Burnside. just like he what did I write down?
I
wrote Steve is immediately insufferable, and he sounds like Edward Furlong.
Gosh, sorry about sorry. That.
Well, yeah, why talk about it? We can just hear what he sounds
oh,
like.
Oh, great.
Chris Redfield. Is he a relative of yours or something?
Oh, God.
You mean my brother?
Ah.
Nah. Nah. It's like a mannequin, or like, you know, those people, man, or what do you call it?
The ventriloquist dummy?
Yeah.
Contact Leon and tell him to let my brother know he's being monitored.
I like this scene a lot because it's she's like name dropping Leon and Chris and like,
yeah.
And it also like the first time I played this game, I'm like, oh, it's cool. Yeah. Send Chris a message. And then you get and then like later, I had no idea that you would play as Chris in this game.
Oh, that was such a treat and surprise. It
I was
awesome.
Like, oh, my God. And yeah, it's basically like the second half of the game.
Yeah.
Is playing as Chris.
Even if he is your brother.
Oh, I love this
yes,
part.
Yes, he
though.
Can. I'm sure of it.
No Twin Peaks.
He won't come. You'll just end up disappointed if you rely on others.
Okay, James.
James!
What's that all about?
I don't know, Claire. That's a great reaction. You meet Steve, and then you meet the villain of the piece, at least for a while, Alfred Ashford. I yes. love Alfred Ashford.
Yes.
He is fucking, he's so crazy. And I had forgotten about his weird little laugh.
Yeah.
He's just like, it's just shooting at you. And he's got a great voice, first of all. His voice is like, oh, Claire.
Goo.
But then he'll laugh and he'll go like, oh. I don't even know what it is. But it's great. He's creepy as shit.
I hope that if they do a remake, you know, do you think they're going to keep that type of voice? Because I would be all for it. I'd be like, yeah, just use the same voice. That's awesome. I would, you know, I don't know how well it would go with graphics, but I don't care.
Here's just the thing. It. I do think that they're going to do a voice like that. Because good. And the reason is because the Resident Evil 4 remake, you know, that's a crazy game. That's a super crazy like everything about that game is like all over the place. And when that came out, it was such a far cry from like any of this kind of stuff. And I remember thinking when they announced the remake, oh, they're not going to it's not going to be that campy, like, because they redid Resident Evil 2 and they made it, it's really like horror, yeah. It's really like kind of more grounded and intense, and I was like, ah, they're probably going to make Resident Evil 4 like more realistic, I think, and they didn't. And like Ramon Salazar, that creepy little guy, he doesn't sound as weird as he did in the original version, but they definitely kept him being like, I'm a creepy little guy, Leon. Like,
I'm the leprechaun. Sorry.
Yeah. But, so they still kind of went for it with that character. So that's why I think if they, just say when they remake Code Veronica, Alfred will still be a fucking creepo.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of creepo, as you go through, you meet Alfred, you go through his kind of mansion / workplace. There's like a conference room, which I love. You start to uncover like what the deal is, like what this guy is, how he's actually connected to Umbrella. And then you find this little home video. And this was truly like, this was one of the creepiest things like that they could have done in this game.
Yeah, I mean, again, 2000, I mean, over 20 years ago, something like you wouldn't think something like this would be made. Hence, it was, what the hell? Like, everything was so much more, hate to use the word straight, but I mean, things were so much more clear, and this was just messing with your mind. It was great.
It's just these two creepy twin siblings that looked super creepy. Pulling the wings off a dandelion, watching ants eat it. They look like they're gonna kiss. Do they? Cuts away before they can. I love the design of everything. It's really apparent immediately. It's like gothic horror inspired.
Yeah.
Oh, one thing I really liked just about the game design is there are certain scenes. You know, the door animation, the door opening animations are still there as like loading screens. Mm-hmm. But there are certain times where like the tension's heightened and something like crazy might happen or is about to happen. And in those scenes, you like go through a door and you get kind of an extended door opening cutscene with like a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. And they haven't done that since then.
Mm-mm. No. And I would say, just the whole transition, I still even remember, because I mean my favorite Resident Evil game is the first one. And of course, I love the remake on GameCube and of course on PS4 and all that stuff. But when I remember just playing this again and seeing it fully 3D and how just the camera moved. I mean, that camera was just done so well. Like there wasn't a moment that I was like, wait, where's this? Like to feel, I guess, disjointed, like, wait, what am I facing? Wait, I should be over. It was just, it was seamless. And I loved it. And actually the jump scare, and I usually don't get, but when that helicopter exploded at the very beginning and that briefcase came out, and then of course the guy, the pilot on fire chases after you, that actually, like, I forgot about that part. So it was just like, I'm like, oh!
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, then, all the zombies start coming out of, like, literal graves. I'm like, this is crazy. I love this.
And you just have a knife. It's like, oh, my God, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool. Ah, yeah, beautiful.
Was there really a knife? Did you have to pick the knife up?
You had to pick it up.
I completely missed the knife. I was too excited to get out of the graveyard.
the cell with Rodrigo. Yeah. If you do some more searching around, you can pick up a knife from there, and then you go outside. But honestly, I just like, where's the gun? You know, I just gotta run and get the hell out of here.
You get that gun pretty fast, which is good. What did I write? I wrote Resident Evil loves a picture puzzle. There's that one room where you have to like click the buttons under the pictures in the right order. And I'm like, man, these games love that thing, that one specific thing. Steve's like a bit of a little bitch for really the entire game. But the first, the first bunch where you meet him and you keep running into him, he's just like this little asshole, and he keeps saying shit that's like, this is why I'm on my own, because family will only let you down.
We're like,
all right. Yeah. And then it turns out you get to a room where a zombie's attacking and he can't shoot him. And then right as the zombie's about to kill you, were you also thinking about IT Crowd?
No, but now but I should have. Hilarious.
Steve just unloads the zombie and goes, "Father!" And all I could think of was Matt Berry going, "Father!" Running down the aisle of the church. I'm gonna need to put those two clips together so people know what I'm talking about.
Yes, please.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I mean, I was just gonna say, Steve, he's frustrating. Definitely the weakest part of the game, but parts of me do appreciate that, you know, again, this is kind of a different type of game, mm-hmm. or at least different types of characters. Even though I know Sherry Birkin was in two, that was kind of different. So this one, annoying, but I'm glad that they try to do something different.
Yeah. And I can Steve, I think, is the character out of this entire game that can benefit the most from them remaking this game. I think they can make Steve cool. I think they can make Steve like an actually a good character if they remade it, because they've been doing such a fucking good job of like not only remaking these games, but like kind of expanding on the character. Like Luis from Resident Evil 4, I thought his remake version was so much better than
so
the
much
original.
Better. Yeah. Yeah. So much better.
Oh my God. The original one, he's just like, ooh, senorita. My chihuahua. Like, all right, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. No, and I think I hope so, but I would think that most people, when they talk about this game, it's Steve is the very bottom part of the game. So I imagine they'd be like, okay, we got to clean this guy out. So
it's really just it's because he's annoying. Like, he's just got a bad voice.
Yeah.
I feel like if it was a different voice delivering those lines, I would be like, this guy sucks, but at least I don't actively hate him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We were all that age once. We were.
Yeah.
Where you are know, we? But no. I wasn't like that in high school. No.
The walk up to the Alexia house is what I call it. I guess it's not just her house, though, right? It's like it's the house that they live in.
Right.
But super creepy. Oh, I love it. It's just like already it's like dark. There's thunder. It feels like a full on horror movie.
Oh my God.
And it feels like Psycho too. Like it's got that like creepy ass mansion on a hill vibe to it.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
So good. That's my favorite. Honestly, that is my favorite. That's my favorite shot in the game.
Part of the whole game. Yeah.
That's my favorite part.
Yeah. Thank you to whoever played through this entire game and put it on YouTube. That helped me. Now, I will say this. I hate normally watching like gameplay videos.
Right. Same here.
But for this podcast, I have found it to be a lifesaver to find like someone who played through like all of Blue Stinger. And I can just sit there and like just scrub through it and find good clips. It's been an incredible lifesaver for me.
Whoa.
Yeah, and this extended opening of the door is like, oh, what the fuck is this going to be? And then it's creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Love the padded door.
Not crows, but bats.
Bats,
they actually have bats in this game.
I do really like the bats. I like the bats, and I like how you cannot trigger them if you don't use your lighter, but then you're walking around in the dark and you can't see anything. So it's like, do you either like deal with the bats and see stuff, or do you just kind of like silently go through?
I'll deal with the bats.
One thing I really liked about this game from even like when it came out, and this is such a nerd like compliment, but like a nerd thought to have, there's that one room you go into that's like I don't remember if it was in that house or if it was in the main house, but there's a room you go into and there's a report from Hunk.
Oh, yes. Right.
And Hunk is, I wrote down, I had this thought. Hunk is the Boba Fett of Resident Evil. Because he's nice. This character yes. that you don't know, you know almost nothing about. He looks very cool. Boba Fett, Hunk. They both look very cool. They both have almost no backstory. Let's not talk about the Boba Fett show. And you're just like, I want to know more about them. And it's cool when they show up in things. And like, they're just like badasses. And all, the other thing that I really liked about that was that, and this is where I think it gets super nerdy, Resident Evil 2, when it came out originally on the PlayStation, it had two super fucking secret things to unlock that required you to play through the game like a bunch of times and like keep an ongoing save. And at a certain point, you unlock a little like a battle game called The Fourth Survivor, and you played as Hunk, and it was like a timed thing where you had to run through and like... you know, last out against like hordes of enemies and like get to the helicopter. And that was super cool. And then if you play through the game a whole bunch more times, you unlock the exact same thing, except it was called the Tofu Survivor. And you played as a break of tofu. For them to have that file in this game that's a report by Hunk, I was like, oh, it's canon. Like, he's actually a character that wasn't just a fun little special thing. That's neat.
Yeah. Oh, dude, you were the only person I knew who did
unlock that shit.
Unlocked. Oh, dude, yeah. I mean, just going over to your house and just, hey, Patrick, you want to see tofu?
You want to see tofu? He's a hunk of tofu. He's got a knife. That's it. And a beret.
That's legit. Yeah, yeah, that's real. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I was in eighth grade, so I had the time. That shit now, when it's like even the new Resident Evil games, it'll be like play through and like on hard mode to get an A, and I'm like, fuck you, I'll pay for it. Let me spend money.
I'm too old for that shit. I'm not gonna mess around with that. Yeah,
can't do that anymore. Oh
yeah,
this I love. There's a part where you go back to the opening, the prison segment, and you find everyone's a zombie. But there's like a super hard zombie to fight, the doctor.
Oh, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And like his backstory is that he's like a sadistic doctor and he like did experiments on people and there's like torture devices. I was like, am I crazy or is sadistic doctor a trope in horror like video games?
No, you're right. I think that's, yeah.
It's just,
I think it was Frankenstein.
That's
been the trope.
Think about it until I was playing, but I was like, Bioshock had a doctor who went crazy and then like ripped people's faces off and like was like sadistic and did experiments. Dead Space has a doctor that is like brainwashed by the alien artifact thing and like goes crazy and experiments on like living people. This game has a doctor who is like delighting and experimenting on people. I think it's funny. I was like, I know that there's more, there's got to be more examples, and those are just the three that I could think of off the top of my head.
Well, but I'm glad that you mentioned about backtracking, because I have a note here too.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously backtracking in the newer ones, they're trying to find ways that you don't have to backtrack as much. I didn't mind backtracking in this game.
Yeah, I kind of didn't either. And okay, so I didn't play the entire thing. I didn't have time to play like the full game, but I played it a million times before. I played I played like the first probably 2 hours and the last probably like 2 hours or so. So I kind of just skipped like the whole middle of the game. But there's not terrible backtracking and it doesn't get too old. I did think it was like a little, like that was one of the things I was thinking that was dated about it, was like, oh, well, you do really have to like run back through a lot of these sections. But I don't know. Like, I feel like when it's done badly is when you have to backtrack to get one thing, you know?
Right.
And in this case, a lot of the times when you were backtracking, it was maybe to get something, but it was usually like opening up a new area that was in that area you couldn't get to. There was a lot of that, I feel like, in this game. So it felt more rewarding.
And that's what I actually wrote was, rewarding.
Oh, yeah.
There was something about that was just Like, oh man, okay, yeah, I gotta go. Well, just at the very beginning when you like, okay, I gotta drop all my items off. I need to go in there. I gotta drop off the badge, and then I gotta go back to the briefcase, put out the fire extinguisher, get the piece, get that. But it was like,
get that polymer, yeah.
Yeah, but it opened the new doors. I don't know. I mean, that just kind of makes sense. That's how a game operates. But at the same time, it was like, oh no, this is actually, there's going to be a payoff. Like, I know I'm actually on the right course.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh man, I don't know what to do next. It's like, I kind of need that. So yeah, I thought it was good.
And I desperately didn't have that in Blue Stinger.
Oh God. What the fuck do I do now? I don't know.
Yeah. Figure it out. Idiot.
Yeah. That's not a good thing in a game, but
not at all.
Yeah. Oh, well,
speaking of, the backtracking, I forgot about that crazy doctor, but there's also, I wrote down, I call them proto side quests, but there's optional things you can do in this game. There's things that you don't have to do to get through the game, but they give you like a little bit extra stuff, or like they give you better like rewards kind of. And one of the things I remembered immediately was when you start the game with that guy Rodrigo in the jail cell, he's like sick and he's got an empty pill bottle. I was like, oh, I remember being able to get him medicine. And if you don't have to do that, you can let him not die, because he meets Chris later anyway. But you can just like literally never go back to him. And but the thing is that if you go back to him, you can trade. You give him your lighter and he gives you a lockpick, which lets you open these cases that you find throughout the game. And then that has like this domino effect later in the game where Chris meets Rodrigo at the beginning of his section. And if you gave him the lighter as Claire, he will give Chris the lighter. And you can then, as Chris, use that lighter to open up a little like secret panel right away and get the submachine guns. Did you do that?
I did not do that.
Yeah,
I was. That's very cool.
And if you don't, and if you never gave him the lighter as Claire, you still encounter him, but he just dies, and then you can't get those guns.
Yeah, I didn't remember him living. So
yeah, he gets eaten by a worm.
I was a good person. I was a good person.
I wrote ants. This is the note I wrote. Ants! Exclamation point. Ashford's so creepy. And then incest? Question mark.
Yeah. Well, even after she like gets released, and you know him. I mean, granted, she's nude and she's not wearing clothing because she was encapsulated in a vat. But just even
still
like
creepy.
How she's like, you know,
she's like stroking his hair. Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm like, this is a little weird. I was a huge fan of the music, and of course at the same time when Chris is climbing up the mountain, all I could think of was Nacho, but little inside reference there. But
me and Patrick made a bunch of short movies 20 years ago, and I used a lot of Resident Evil music in it.
But it worked. So I mean,
such good music.
And just him climbing up the mountain, I'm like, oh my god, this is really epic. Like, you know, because this is when you find out, like, hey, Chris is actually coming, and then you'll find out, you'll play him, but it's like, here he comes, and the music is like building up, and you know, oh, he almost fell off the mountain.
Oh no,
he's gonna keep going.
He did lose all his shit though.
Well, yeah, that sucks. I wrote this down. I don't know, did you feel any references to The Thing? Because I think some people mentioned that just because they fly and crash
in Antarctica.
I never saw any Thing reference, the movie.
Yeah.
The Thing reference. I never saw any of that, but people have mentioned that. I thought that was interesting.
Only in that part of the game takes place in Antarctica. But like, really, I never picked up on any Thing references.
I'm not missing anything.
That's got to be people just like making that connection. Like, they both take place there. if you think about it.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of this entire game is the really crazy reveal. I guess it's like about halfway through the game. You've met Alfred Ashford and you have seen Alexia, you've met Alexia Ashford, actually. You've met both of them, these crazy, crazy twins. And then you get into this creepy bedroom area in their house. And, you know, Alexia confronts you again. This whole thing was crazy when I first played this game.
I am Alexia Ashford. For the pride of the Ashford family, I will kill you.
So soap opera-y too. I love it.
Wait!
And then...
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Oh, man, just the worst voice. Shit. Also, did he hit her? She should be dead.
I thought he hit her.
Yeah.
But maybe it was just a flesh wound. Maybe.
Yeah. She was like, oh, no, bullets. Shit.
Like, people like, that's like Leonardo DiCaprio in a Resident Evil game.
Yeah. With this haircut. For, yeah. Definitely. There's the heartbeat again. Oh, I guess there is. Is there blood? There's blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did hit her.
But.
But. Did he really hit Alexia? Yeah. I love there's a dress there. Yeah. And then there's a wig.
A wig? Yeah. That's awesome.
This. Yeah. This was crazy. I feel like I was playing this with Anthony. Because I remember both of us reacting to this like, what the fuck? There is no Alexia, supposedly. Alfred has been dressing as her and talking to himself because he's completely insane.
Total psycho, yeah. That's.
I love his scream. He's so crazy.
Ah, so great.
That was a very cool reveal, and I I was replaying it, and I was like, man, you know, I remember that happening. And I was thinking, oh, I'm a little worried. I don't remember exactly how they talk about that in this game. Like, is someone going to say some shitty things about like cross-dressing? But they don't. They're just like, oh, he's crazy. He's fucking crazy. I'm like, nice. And then later at some point, Claire calls him a cross-dressing freak. And I'm like, all right, it's not. It's true. That was he got close to being like, uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean, he did try to kill them, so kind of a freak. So, yeah. Yeah.
I also wrote down RE loves a good self-destruct system because, of course.
Yes.
Of course, you know, a self-destruct timer goes off. You know how we all build self-destruct systems into our houses?
Oh, sure.
And workplaces.
I was going to say, how many countdowns did you have? I put down 3. That there was a countdown.
Yeah.
Was there 3?
Was there 3? There might have been. That feels right.
Okay. I was trying to make notes while I was playing. I'm like, okay, I think there's... I just did little hashtags, like, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
But yeah, nothing greater. I mean, now you just become numb to it. Like, okay, great. How much time do I have?
Great. At this point, it's the fourth Resident Evil game, and every single one has that moment of like, okay, there's the timer. Now I gotta get up. I do. I think this is the last Resident Evil game with great music. Maybe hot take. Yes. I don't know, but yeah, that's what I feel like.
This was probably one of in my top 3 as far as positives or what I felt made this green game was the music. I mean, again, besides the ending, that those credits were terrible, the credit song. But yeah, it just it felt like, and I could be totally wrong, but I felt like at least maybe when they were designing the game or scripting the game or whoever, you know, doing the music was kind of like, you know, okay, yes, this is going to be, you know, Alfred's theme. This is Alicia's theme. This is Jill's theme. Like, this is a theme. Like, I actually felt like they really tried to think it out rather than, okay, we've got 4 tracks to play with. Oh yeah, this is a weird part. Play that again. I mean, like, I really felt like they tried something different with it. So I really like that.
I love Resident Evil 4, but I think the music in that is very forgettable. There's a few spots probably that have like some decent music, but Resident Evil 4 is when they started really getting into like the heavy kind of ambient, like tones, maybe like the it's like dissonance instead of music. And there weren't many. Yeah, there's some good music in Resident Evil 4, but not. I don't know. It felt like the first couple games have like a movie score.
Mm-hmm.
And then from Resident Evil 4 on, it's like, oh, no, it's video game music.
Just even the save music in this game, yeah. Like when you go into the safe room, same theme, but they did something a little bit different to, mm-hmm. you know,
oh, I love just for that, this. Yeah.
I think that's probably my favorite version of the safe room music. Yeah. So
there's some good music in Resident Evil 7 from what I'm remembering. Like the save room music in Resident Evil 7 is great. And that was also, I mean, that was such a, they changed everything about the franchise with that game. So that one's so good all around. And some of that music is pretty great, but it just doesn't like hold up the same level for me.
Right.
That tyrant that you have to fight as Claire leaving the island. I remember not this time. Well, actually, I didn't get to fight him this time. I didn't get that far, but I do remember. I don't know how much I fucked myself over, but I remember like I didn't have the right, like maybe guns on me or something like that. Or I'd use like too much ammo or too much health. And that I got stuck on a save right there where I had to fight the tyrant and I fucking couldn't. And I remember thinking like, if you don't manage your inventory well before this, you're fucked.
Yeah. 'Cause that's when you have to use the, let's see. I think I had. Oh God, it's been such. I didn't play obviously up to this part this time, but playing it back then, yeah, because you were using the rifle.
And you have to use that like crate to like push him out the back of the plane.
Correct.
But it's just so small, and like he gets a hit in on you. I think no matter what.
I just love it where it's like, huh, what's that noise in the back of the plane? I don't know. I'm going to go check it out. And there's like a typewriter right there. It's like, I guess I better save.
Yeah. That might have been my problem is that I saved there. And then like that was, and I overwrote my save before. And I was like, oh God, no. When they crash in Antarctica, this is another thing where I was like, here's an opportunity to make Steve better in a remake. He tries to kiss Claire, who's asleep. I was like, no, don't, Steve.
No,
don't do it, Steve.
Don't.
Come on.
Creepy man. No, that's... In the new one, you'll just see him take off his clothes.
Yeah. You know what? He cops a feel.
Gosh, sorry about that.
I'm sorry. Hey, quit screwing around.
I like you. Gosh.
I'm not an incel. Claire. This is another thing that I nerded out a lot about, which is like one of the files you pick up, I think in Antarctica, mentions Spencer, who co-founded Umbrella, and Trevor, who I think built the mansion. I think this is the first mention of them in the series. I don't remember, because when they remade the first game, they worked a lot of stuff into it lore-wise. But like the first, like 98 or 96 Resident Evil, it didn't have any like history of the mansion in it. It was just like Umbrella shit. So they expanded. So I was like, ooh, I really like this kind of like, they started really getting deep in the lore and expanding the lore in this game.
Yeah, they really...
They went for it, man.
They went for it. Yeah, they really did.
I like the giant moth and the giant spiders. I like that, the redesign of those. The spiders,
I actually wrote down spiders fuck. because they're like got green legs. They've got like a green purple body. And of course, the graphics, obviously, they're not boxy or pixelated or anything like that. So when they move, I mean, the spider that will freak me out the most is always going to be the remake. But this one, oh yeah, it's a close second. Those things were not cool.
I just think like the spiders in the first game are like giant tarantulas, like they're big fuzzy spiders. And like that's creepy, but I'm like, oh, a tarantula is not actually dangerous to you. Like, obviously, giant mutated one, it's going to, like, spit acid and whatnot, of course. What have you.
Yeah.
But the way the spiders in this game look, they're the ones that have, like, a big kind of, like, round body and then, like, they're really skinny, pointy legs. And I'm like, those ones look fucking scary. Like, even if it was this big, if I saw a spider that looked like that, that was, like, on my hand, I'd be like, ah, I'm going to die.
So yeah, it's not the pincers. The legs would go into your skin as well.
The legs are creepy, and I'm like, ooh, they look poisonous. I don't like the look of them.
Yes.
The Nosferatu monster, the Alexander Ashford. Alfred and Alexia are twins who part of the Ashford family who co-founded Umbrella, and they experimented on their father, turned him into a fucking monster, locked him up in the basement. I wrote down Chekhov's giant axe.
Wow.
He wakes up and, like, this axe flings and then embeds in the ground in front of the camera. I'm like, nah, that's going to come back later.
Yeah, of course, I love the Steve monster. That was great. Or Hulk.
Oh, my God. Steve. Hulk Steve. That's another one where, like, if you don't have enough healing shit on you, you're fucked. Yeah. You can't do that little fight.
And it ended with a tearjerker because he expressed his true feelings to her. Yeah. So that was it's a big moment.
Steve.
Yeah.
I don't think I took a clip of that because I was like, I don't fucking care about Steve.
No.
But I do really like the, they have like a showdown with Alfred and shoot him again. This is like the second time he's been shot point blank with a submachine gun.
Then he falls over, doesn't he?
Let's watch and find out what happens. I don't know if this is like the halfway point in the game or a little more than halfway point in the game.
A little bit over, but yeah, it's on disc two.
Yeah. But this is basically when this is kind of the end-ish of Claire's story. She and Steve are in they're in a snowmobile in Antarctica in short sleeves, which is another thing I think the remake of this game can improve upon.
Get a coat.
Give a jacket. But yeah, Alfred has now been shot multiple times by two submachine guns. So he's actually bleeding out this time. And he goes into a lab that has a big capsule of his naked twin sister, who we all thought was dead and turns out is alive and has been in stasis for 15 years.
Yeah. And even like the graphics on her eyes, like when those were really cool too. They just really got the eyes down.
Yeah. They must have put a lot of money into eye animation. Oh, Alfred, stop staring at your naked sister.
Yeah, it's a little creepy there. Yeah, don't try to grab. No, just...
Now, I know you asked me if I thought they were going to tone down, you know, Alfred's character in a remake. Do you think they'll tone down the sort of, like, incesty vibes with them?
You know, I hope not. I'll just say I hope not.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're living in times where. But this is made in Japan. They're not gonna care. I mean, I have all the respect for those folks over there. They won't care.
But I just mean they go for it harder than we do with some stuff. You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like I don't know if it's cultural, but I feel like there's some stuff. Yeah. Like you'll see in Japanese games that I'm like, I don't think an American company would have the balls to be this kind of out there with some crazy shit. Yeah, and then it fades out to that, and like you were saying, you again cut to... I don't know why it's a still image. Like, did they think that they had to put that in there? Because if they cut straight to him climbing, we would be like, wait, who the fuck? What?
Where is he?
Maybe that's it.
I just love the music.
The music is great. And also, like, the last time we saw Chris, he wasn't unimpressive in the first game. But this I feel like this was like the beginnings of like, ah, this guy could punch a boulder. Yeah, I love this.
Coming for you, Claire.
Yeah, come for me, Chris.
Yeah.
Chris meets Rodrigo. Like we said, there's that scene where you can get the submachine guns. And then pretty quickly, we're introduced to the second villain of this. Or I guess the third. I guess the third villain of this game, if we're counting Alexei as the second one. Man, this game's got a lot of villains. I love how at first they show Wesker from behind and they don't like show you his face. But I'm like, oh, who's that?
And of course, X had like more footage of this, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So the now that we're talking about Wesker, the biggest difference between this version and X is that X had about 10 extra minutes of cutscenes, and that was mainly it. And it was all almost at the end. It was all Wesker stuff, but it was almost entirely, I think, at the very end, literally after you fight the last boss.
Yeah.
I think some of this stuff was still the same. I think they changed some lines and there might have been like a little bit extra throughout, but oh yeah, this is the reveal of Wesker's T-virus eyes. I love this line read.
Alexia?
What did you think? Did you remember, or not remember, but do you remember when you played this, did you know Wesker was going to be in the game?
No, I did not know. I'm even trying to remember, because I was so much better back then. Obviously, we didn't really have the internet, you know, like we do today.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't really want to look too much into this game. I know the official Dreamcast magazine had an article, but it said nothing about Wesker.
Yeah,
but yeah, I didn't know he was going to pop up in this game, so I was surprised.
It's crazy because I must have seen stuff about this game before it came out. Obviously, I knew it was happening, so I was excited about it. But yeah, the internet was so different. Jesus Christ! In 99, 2000, I'm like, I guess you probably could have found maybe some information on stuff, but I don't think they even just released that much information about stuff. So I really wonder.
They were better.
Yeah, they were better. And now we have to like, tell me everything about it. Who are all the characters? What's going to happen? Yeah, I had no idea that Chris was in it at all, let alone you could play as him. And you do for like basically the second half of the game. No idea Wesker was in it. No idea how like it tied to any of the other shit, like all the Umbrella stuff. It was all a giant surprise when I first played this game.
I'm so glad we got it when we did, because honestly, if I was new to Code Veronica now and I went online to be like, oh, I just want to see a quick IGN or a quick review of this, they would be like, oh, well, then you have this and then you have this and then you meet this person. It would just be ruined. So
yeah,
I'm glad we did. Yeah.
They're like, here's the first 3 hours of a game. I'm like, I just want to play it. I don't want to see anything. I just want to play it. It's cool. I like in the Chris section. I think the Chris section got dull a little bit until you get to Antarctica. I think the island section of playing as Chris overstays its welcome a little bit.
Sure.
But I do like how when you're playing as Chris on the island, you see different stuff. Like you see different areas you couldn't access as Claire. Like there's a tank there, but you didn't know that there was a button on the tank. You can press the button and then go underneath it. That was cool. And then I like seeing the same areas that you saw with Claire, but now they're all messed up because the place just like self-destructed. So it's all on fire and crap.
Yeah.
And we get hunters again, which are some of the best enemies.
Oh yeah. God bless the hunters.
I would love for them to put a hunter in, like if they did Resident Evil 9 and it was first person, I would love to encounter.
Oh,
I would love to play first person. I had to fight one of those goddamn things.
Oh, well, side note. So when I just recently beat Resident Evil on Sega Saturn, I decided to play that again.
Oh, wow. The first one.
And and how there was a different hunter. in the game. It's the same character model. It's just a little bit different color.
Yeah.
But so that's where I'm like, man, maybe that'd be really cool if there were actually like more than just, you know, one or two, but actually have like a bunch of different hunters.
Yes.
Like you said, in number 9, that'd be cool.
That'd be very cool. They've done different versions. Oh, there's a different version in this game that I totally forgot about. There's a poison hunter towards the end of this game.
Oh.
And it's like red and purple.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
And again, it's the same thing. It's just reskinned.
Reskinned, yeah.
And when it hits you, you're poisoned also. So, like, it sucks, but yeah.
Wow.
I think they did that.
That's why. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so then getting into some of my favorite shit in this entire game. Like I said, I thought the island part of Chris was kind of dull, but then Chris follows and goes to Antarctica, and I feel like that's where it gets very good. And this is like towards the very end of the game. You get into like the last section, Chris in Antarctica. I like how, like I was saying, you encounter the same areas you encountered before, but they're slightly different. And one of the cooler parts of that is there's this whole section when you're playing as Claire in Antarctica that's like kind of icy. But then when you use that drill to leave, you flood it. When you show up as Chris, it's frozen over and you can actually walk on top of the ice. And that I thought was pretty awesome because it let you access different areas. But then I remember my mind being absolutely blown when you entered that room and it's the replica of the room with the statue holding the bowl from the first game.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wait, what the fuck? This is from the RUN mansion.
Yeah.
That was super cool. And then when you get into, there's a whole other section, like there's this weird room that you get into that it's got like a water. Oh, and I love the water physics in this game.
No, they were actually quite good.
I like how it's like when you move through water, it like ripples out from you.
Ripples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's this room that's like, it looks like an outdoor courtyard, but it's inside because you're in a Antarctic base.
And
but the walls are painted like the sky. It's really creepy. Like, you get into this courtyard, there's a merry-go-round, first of all, creepy. And then the walls are like bright blue. It looks like a weird kid's bedroom. And then you go through these double doors. And then you're in the fucking main entry hall mansion of the first game. What did you think when you first saw this?
I was like, well, one, very cool. Two, shit, there's going to be a lot more to do. Like, I thought there was going to be, like, I got to redo this mansion. Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Like,
what if then you just have to play the whole first game?
Yeah, I know. It's like, oh, my God.
And this is cool. I didn't think about this. There's that portrait at the top of the stairs, and I had kind of forgotten, like, when I first played this game, I was like, oh, that portrait wasn't there. That's a new thing in this game. But then when they remade the first game, they actually added, like, a Spencer portrait in that same exact spot. And I was like, oh, I bet they did that because Code Veronica did it.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Claire.
I was playing this part and Becca saw it and she was like, ooh la la. And then one of them says, or Claire's like, thanks, big brother. And she's like, they're siblings? They don't act like it. I thought they were going to kiss.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I was so worried. I know.
Shh. It's okay. Isn't this how, this is how you talk to your sister, right?
Yeah, I never talked to Heather that way. But, you know.
Hey, if you're listening and you talk to your sibling that way, write in and tell us.
Yeah, I'll put it in the comments.
Just kidding. Don't ever talk to me, please.
Unsubscribe.
Okay. I love that moment too where Alexi shows up and Claire's like, wait, what? She's real?
Peace. See ya.
Let's put a pin in this. Chris, remind me to tell you about how her brother is insane and dressed like her. It's a real psycho situation. You guys get attacked by another big tentacle, separating you, of course, and then you play as Claire for not very long.
Nope.
I had totally forgotten about like this whole section where you play as Claire again, and really all you do as Claire is watch Steve die.
Yeah. And he says that he loves her. Yeah.
And that part sucks. You find like Steve's been experimented on. He turns into a Hulk. He chases you down this hallway with a giant axe, and you have to outrun him. You can't fucking outrun him. You just get hit by this axe a couple of times. You literally just have to have as much healing stuff on you to make it through.
Right.
And then Steve dies. And then you go back to playing as Chris for a little bit. There's some more stuff to do as Chris, but not much. Oh, you do get to see the really awesome scene of Alexia transforming.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scene where...
Those graphics are cool.
Yeah, that was a cool scene. Alexia transforms into, like, this sexy monster and fights Wesker.
Right.
And that was also kind of the first time you see Wesker using, like, superpowers. He did it a little bit earlier where he's, like, $6 million man runs up to you. but him and Alexia have, like, a fight. That fight also is extended, I think, in the X version.
Oh, X.
I think they extended that to make it more. All they did, the X version really is just like, it's more Wesker.
Not Wesker. Wexer?
Oh.
Code Veronica X Wexer.
They should have called it, yeah, Code Veronica, the Wesker version. The Wesker edition. Extra Wesker.
Love that Wesker.
Love that Wesker.
Get a grin again.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, as you know, you go back to being Chris. You go through, you rescue Claire. You're like, sorry about your dead boyfriend? No? Okay. Sorry about your dead friend. And then Alexia shows up in this like gross ass pod tube thing. Slimy.
Yeah.
It's all slimy and naked. You have this big fight where she turns into, you know, a crazy monster. What did you think of this as like a boss fight?
I'm trying to go back in time.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool, but I don't think it was maybe as epic as I was hoping for. I don't know.
Yeah. That was kind of how I felt
too.
Just
like,
not like a huge letdown. But it was just like kind of quick and also like kind of hard because you just get hit a lot no matter what.
Right. You have to wait for that gun to pop out or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
She turns into her like big weird monster form. Well, she's got two forms. And of course you get a countdown. You get 4.5 minutes. But yeah, she like has this gross transformation with like a bunch of ants. And yeah, Chris sends Claire away because, you know, he's like, only one of us can fight. but she gets this big, like, I don't know, like gross bug body. Very, very buggy, very anty. Crazy wing arms. And yeah, then you just like she takes up most of the entire
Timer, right?
Yeah, and like you can barely run anywhere. And then like, yeah, she's got like tentacles that whip out and hit you, and she shoots these little mini tentacles out that hit you. And you just kind of have to like take a bunch of hits. I don't really think that there's a way to get around it. But you just fight her until she turns into her second form, which is the flying version. And that's really like, that's the part where the gun, you're just waiting for the gun to pop out. And then the gun pops out and then you, rocket launcher, you shoot her once. It's called the linear launcher. But yeah, you shoot her once and she's dead. But yeah, she really doesn't do much. She just kind of sits up there wiggling around. She does spit at you sometimes. But it's mostly just these little things and this big tentacle. Gameplay wise, kind of stale.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Now, quick side note. So you do have the vinyl of this.
I don't.
Of this game, right? Oh, you don't.
I'm gonna have to get it on eBay when I have some money, because it's not available in that store anymore.
Oh yeah. Man,
I do have the soundtrack like on CD from forever ago, but I do really want the vinyl.
Yeah,
I have the vinyl of the first, the 96 first game and the 98 second game, not the remakes of either. I don't think the music in the remakes is very good. It's not bad. It's not memorable to me.
Right. Yeah, because I'm even trying to think right now if there was anything that stuck out.
It's just that kind of like atmospheric video game music. Yeah.
Just got to get to that plane.
Running through. Oh, yeah. I forgot that there's a Harrier jet also. There's like several Harrier jets in this game. Which that was such a thing, I feel like, in the 90s. Like, man, that jet that can hover.
Yeah.
That thing's fucking cool.
Oh, and this ending, I'm sorry. I love this game. I really do. But this ending was like, oh, man, really? We're not done yet. We've got to go finish it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that's it? Really?
Well, that, and I'm just like, that's how the last one ended. You know, like, that's exactly how Resident Evil 2 ended. Can you imagine being Claire? Having gone through Resident Evil 2. And then you're with Leon and you're like, ah, it's finally over. And Leon's like, it's not over. We got to take down Umbrella. Wow. And and then for you to then like go and find your brother. And then you're with your brother and you've beaten it. And then you're like, man, it's finally over. And he's like, it's not over. We got to go finish this. I'd be like, can you drop me off at home?
Yeah. Send my best. Please be safe.
I don't want Here's this life. Sandwich. This is fucked up. This music sucks.
Yeah,
this music's...
This is true.
This music's bad.
The ABC TGIF Friday Special. Starring Steve Claire.
It's Friday night's Resident Evil on ABC. What's Alfred going to get up to this time?
Uncle Joey's gonna walk in. Cut it out.
Watch out for those hunters.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the game. You get through the credits and you get this little like, I can't remember. Yeah. There's a picture. Yes.
Oh, they're such a cute couple.
Who the fuck? Who's the lady in the blue dress?
Is that a mannequin?
What is that? Oh, is it a mannequin?
Yeah, it might be a mannequin through a window.
Oh, yeah, they're a storefront. Yeah. And then, battle game.
Battle game.
Yeah. If you play through the game, if you beat the game, you unlock a battle game.
That picture really bothers me. That picture.
The one at the end?
They look like a couple.
Yeah,
they look like
arm in arm. I don't know. I don't know. Siblings, man, in this game.
Wow.
Well, we talked. Are there any other thoughts you have on the game itself, on like gameplay or characters? What do you think about actually playing the game?
No, I think the actual game mechanics itself, I really do. I mean, a lot of people don't like, what do they call it?
Tank.
That tank controls. Yes. Yeah, but I guess since I've played Resident Evil so much, I actually like the tank controls, or I'm used to the tank controls. Uh-huh. But I felt like these were the same or at least, you know, somewhat smoother than they were before.
Yeah.
But with that camera now being 3D, mm-hmm. I just I don't know. I liked it. It just felt like coming home. So I didn't have a problem with it.
It did feel like coming home. I don't like the tank controls. And I didn't have a huge problem with them. Because like you said, we both played the shit out of these games. So like it does feel like muscle memory. I will say, playing, you know, on the Dreamcast, I did not use the stick. I used the D-pad. Did you use the stick?
I used the stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about using the stick with tank controls. I don't know what it was, but like I couldn't control them very well. And using the D-pad, that's where to me it felt like coming home. where I was like, this, okay, I get this. Like, the turn, go forward.
Right.
Weirdly, the button layout was bothering me. I kept pressing the wrong buttons. Like,
I did too.
Oh my God. Yeah. The button, like, I feel like the buttons for walk and like opening up your inventory should have been switched, or run rather.
Yay. Okay. I was thinking inventory because I kept on hitting the wrong inventory.
Yeah.
Or the button for inventory. I kept on screwing that up.
Yeah. And I kept screwing that up, and I would like open the map and I'm like, oh no, isn't that what I meant to do? Yeah. Right. I don't know what it was, but I could not wrap my head around the the button configuration. But yeah, I mean, aside from like the tank controls, like I'm just not, you know, it's they're not great. And I can totally see why like someone, you know, who's never played it before playing it would be like, totally. Fine, absolutely fuck this.
Yeah.
But aside from the tank controls, I loved it. I thought it still played pretty well. I didn't have a, you know, I wasn't dying constantly like I was in Blue Stinger.
Oh God. Yeah, no. And I think I'm totally with you with the controllers. Like if somebody was using it today, I know somebody, especially for me, cause I do a lot more retro games than a lot of newer games.
Yeah.
So, coming off of Resident Evil on the Saturn or even Deep Fear, which was a Saturn game, used the tank controls. Mm. So I definitely have opened it up with open arms and embraced it. I guess I don't know why some people would think it's a good thing, but parts of me, I'm just like, sometimes in a difficult situation, I think those controls kind of heighten the tension or makes it more like, oh my God.
It does add to the tension, I think, because it's hard. It's kind of hard to control your character. And I found myself like backing up a lot, like, ah, fuck. Oh shit.
I don't know if it's intentional, but yeah, parts of me, I'm like, if it was, I like to think it was intentional, so they can be like, you know, we've got them good.
I think it was. Some of these things are that they'll do for one reason if it's like maybe technical or whatever, but they have like kind of a second reason also. Because I feel like the fixed camera thing, they did the fixed camera originally because they could pack a lot more detail into a pre-rendered background.
Right.
And so that meant that the camera couldn't move. But then like the benefit of that was that they could place the camera wherever they wanted and create more tension because you might not be able to see around a corner. So like it had a practical use, but then it also had like a great gameplay use as well. Like they were really I wouldn't be surprised if the tank controls are also part of that, like make it a little hard for them to control. Yeah, let me just.
But no, I can't. I just really enjoy playing this game. For revisiting it again was a true joy. And I really do hope that I am ready for a remake. We've been waiting for a remake for years.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do it. I don't know if there's been any news circulating, but I haven't heard any confirmation that it is going to happen.
No, I've heard.
Aren't they?
I've heard that like they're definitely making more remakes. That's the only thing that they've confirmed. They haven't said of what. But I've heard, I feel like, equal amount of rumors for all three original Resident Evil, Resident Evil Zero, and Code Veronica. Zero is so far down on the list of what I care about.
Yeah, I don't really care about Zero that much.
If they remade Zero, would I play it? Fucking, of course I would. Absolutely. Because they could make it a lot better. I don't think that's a great game. They could make it a lot better. But at the same time, I kind of hope that, like, if they are working on a Zero remake, they put, like, their B team on it. You know, have, like, the people who remade 2 are the same ones that remade 4, and it was a different team that remade 3, and people don't like that one as much. And I'm like, it's good, but yeah, I get it. It's not as good.
Right. Yeah. So, let them create.
So, yeah. I'm just like, you guys work on Zero and like put who are the guys that did like 2 and 4?
You guys, you should do Code Veronica and then you should do the original remake.
Okay, great. You got that? All right.
So differences between this and Code Veronica X were mainly the Wesker scenes. I think it was a longer fight with Alexia, but then it was really, so in that version, after you fight Alexia and Chris jumps, you know, through some fireballs. Between that and him and Claire running to the jet, there's a whole scene where he runs into Wesker and Wesker is taking Claire hostage. And it's in that icy room with like the ice floor. And Chris and Wesker have this big epic like fight. And pipe, like a big burning pipe, falls on Wesker and like disfigures part of his face. And that was like, I'll get you next time, Redfield. It's interesting in like the original version of this game, the last you see of Wesker is literally him running out the door after that, after he meets Alexia that first time. He's not in the rest of the game at all. And then they added that whole like extra bit at the end for the which is, you know, that's like the canon. That's the regular version of it now. We just didn't get that at first.
Interesting. Because I have X on GameCube, but I mean, of course my GameCube broke and I have a Wii, but and you can play GameCube games on the Wii, but I'd have to hook that up.
And you can also get it for like PS5. It's probably like $5.
You could do that too. Yeah. Because I think I have it for Xbox One. I think I rebought Code Veronica, but I'm just like, I've got this play it on Dreamcast, play it on. As the hipster retro boy as I am, playing on where it's from.
Yeah.
You know, just do it.
This is hilarious. So the only other difference, I think, between the two versions are Steve's haircut. So they changed.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why. And this is crazy because actually I think his original haircut's better looking.
Oh, yeah,
like his Dreamcast haircut. Wow. And I don't think I realized this ever happened, but his Dreamcast, he's got like a widow's peak and it is very DiCaprio, right? Super DiCaprio. What they redesigned him for Code Veronica X, and that's been the version of him like this whole time. He's got this like boy band kind of like bangs in your eyes look.
Wow.
And yeah, I actually think that the original version of him looks better than the current version of him.
I agree.
Yeah. So the only other thing I wanted to mention about this game is Battle Game, which was like the proto mercenaries thing that you unlock. And this pissed me off. You unlock Battle Game by finishing the game, which I've done a bunch. I've played this game on Dreamcast and I played it on PlayStation. I don't know if you have to have a save at the end of the game and then fight and then like play the end of the game and then just like keep your shit running to then play Battle Game. Cause I couldn't find like a new save that I could load up where it was just unlocked. Like, you know, it would be in a current game.
Oh,
so I don't know what's up with that. That was crazy. Cause I was like, I am positive. I know I've played this before. I know I have played it. Because the Battle Game was a thing where you can start off as Chris or Claire, and then you it's very like it's mercenaries. You've got a set inventory of stuff, and then you just have to run through a bunch of rooms, fight a bunch of monsters, and then the boss, and then that's the end. And playing it, you unlock other characters. So if you played it as Chris, if you play as Claire and Chris, you can unlock different costumes for the two of them. I'm not sure what Chris's was. It might have just been his like first, his Resident Evil one, but Claire's is like kind of a bikini. She's in like short shorts and like a sports bra. But then you can also, if you picked up the gold Luger replica during the game, you can unlock Steve as a playable character in the Battle Game. And then I think you have to get like an A score or something with characters. You unlock Wesker in the Battle Game. And the very cool thing about the Battle Game, the thing that I remember making it stand out, was that it had a first person option. You could play it in first person, and it wasn't great, but it was cool, and it was very new for Resident Evil, and it was like the only time they did that until I think 7.
Oh,
and I don't know, the Gun Survivor games, but I don't count those. Those are like on rails.
No.
Yeah.
No. Don't talk about them. That's interesting. I never tried. I mean, because once I beat it, it was just like, I'm done, you know. So I never,
never played
tried
the battle
to do
game.
That. I never played the battle game. No. Oh.
I feel like weirdly it looks like the textures look worse.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like an older game.
Oh, but still, isn't that cool? I would. That's cool.
It's got a bit of like a Doom vibe to it.
Yeah.
Like the way the camera kind of bobs with you running. Oh, no. But like seeing some of these enemies, like yeah, like the banner stash, like seeing them like up close, like in your face, I'm like, that's pretty awesome. That's very different. And like every room is completely different. They're all totally different rooms than, you know, it's not like it's just like here's a collection of rooms from the whole game.
Wow.
And I think the goal was like just to get through the set amount of rooms.
Get out. Yeah, you walked like in looks like a science lab room and now you're in a basement. Yeah. Yeah.
I also like how some of the zombie moans are 100% just the same sound effects from Resident Evil 2. There's a few zombie moans that I could pick out. I'm like, that's seared into my memory.
Oh, man. Hunter sound effects.
Yeah.
Oh.
So anyway, that's the
that's cool.
Battle mode. I think that's all I really have to. We talked a lot about this
game. We did. I mean, this was a geek out. Yeah.
I could talk more, but we should wrap it up.
Yeah, it's almost been what, 2 hours?
I think so.
Yeah.
What would you 1 out of 5? What would you rate this game in 2000?
Oh, I give it a 5 in 2000 for
me
sure. Too.
This is absolutely a 5 out of 5 game for me. I like.
Yeah.
I wish. I'm glad that we recorded this episode, but I was like, man, I kind of wish I had an extra week because I really actually wanted to play the whole thing. I might play it. I don't know. I've got Star Wars Outlaws to play.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah, I've got some more retro games I need to be trying to play, but, you know, damn work. But, you know, whatever. I'll work around it. So, but no, excellent game. And even now, I would say, you know, in 2024, I mean, I would still give it a good 4 out of 5. Like, I still think it's
on just
still...
like story, honestly, like story and experience alone. It's a dated game for sure, but it's a fantastic game.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I will still play it from years to come. Yeah. I mean, well, hopefully a remake will come out, but I will definitely revisit it after. Because that's what I like to do with, you know, the first one. I still like to go back to it after a couple of years.
Yeah, same.
And then
I did that earlier this year. Yeah.
Yeah. And then 7. I know I'll revisit 7 and do all VR mode again. Yeah. And yeah, that was great.
Yeah. That's a good. Yeah. I haven't played 7 in a while. I was actually thinking about that the other day. I'm like, ooh, that would be a fun one to pop back in.
Yeah, I love 7.
Well, all right. 5 out of 5. That's been us talking about Resident Evil Code Veronica. I don't know what we're going to talk about next time, but check out if, you know, it's the first time you're listening, you can find this podcast on all podcast platforms. So follow and subscribe would be awesome. Let people know about it and, you know, share it around if you like it. You can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow Casting Dreams on Instagram and TikTok. If you want to send us an email, it's podcast@cactusrodeo.com, so you can let us know what you think about our Dreamcast show. And if you have any recommendations also, like, you know, we're going to do a whole bunch of games, but if there's something that you really want to hear us talk about, or if there's something super obscure and like weird and out there, because I know there's a lot of that kind of stuff, just give us a heads up on like what would be a good thing for us to play and talk about.
Absolutely. Loved it.
Well, Patrick, thanks for hanging out with me.
Hey, thank you, man. It's always a blast. Yeah. Always a blast.
We usually
thank
end
you.
Up talking about Code Veronica when we're not recording podcasts. So this is nothing new for us.
Yeah. We can keep going.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Take care, guys. Thanks.